This morning, but to me, he is precious, isn't he? He's the one who's altogether lovely. And I don't mind one bit dedicating myself to him, because the more I give to him, the more special, the more precious he becomes to me. To them that believe, he is precious. Amen. We're going to sing this again. I'm just full this morning. I've been full all week. Youth choir went with a preacher down Thursday night to Susan Moore, Alabama, which is just about 5 miles off the map. Yeah. And the young people got up there, and they began to clap, and they began to sing. Yeah. I mean, the Lord just got all over it. It was wonderful, precious. He is wonderful, and I do love him this morning. We're going to sing this again.
I got to say something. He don't get to talk to me, not. The second verse of this song says, plenteous grace he bestows. Find me somebody that deserved what he did for us, that was worthy of him dying for us. It's coming up on a year ago. My, oh my. It's coming up on a year ago that I fell down on my knees in this boy's living room and I said, take it all, God. Forgive me. He knew all that I had done. He knew where my life was. But still, he decided to change me. Still, after all I had done, he decided that I deserved his love.
Yeah, Tracy, go ahead.
That's what grace is all about.
Hallelujah.
Plenteous grace he bestows. I still fall, but he still loves. I still fall, he still forgives.
Yeah.
That's awesome, y'all. I don't know if y'all have ever got a hold of that.
Well,
but we don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his forgiveness. But because of grace. But because of grace, he gives it to us. That's awesome. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Since I started
a year ago, next week,
on for the kingdom,
yes.
And since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more he
bestows grace
abounding. Every day my way and gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter.
Let's all stand. Let Rick, let's sing. Let's just sing and worship the Lord. Folks are praying. Let's continue to sing. Open our hearts and worship our wonderful Lord. fellowship one with another. Tell somebody you love them in the Lord. Let our ushers come forward to receive our offering, and as they do so, if you are visiting with us, if you'll just hold your hand up for just a moment, they have a little guest packet that we want to give to you, and on the inside is some things for you, and you'll also find a little guest card. If you'll take that card out and fill it in, drop an offering plate in just a moment. We'll send you some more information this week about the church, but appreciate all of those that are visiting with us. Good to have Nathan's future in-laws down from Johnson City today. Good to have them with us, huh? Brandon. Nathan's praying. It's Brandon that's already trapped. Amen. Brandon's in-laws here today. And then Brother Ted Mullins and his wife are with us. Would you stand, missionaries to Papua New Guinea? Good to have. Let's welcome them to services. So good to have you today. Tom and Mary Lynn Kreider. Tom and Mary Lynn, stand back there. Good to have them. Always a joy to have them pop in and visit with us today. Many, many others visiting with us today. We're so thankful that you are with us. Let me just make mention real quickly of a couple of things. Many of you have asked about your videos. We had such a large order for videos that we've gone to the outside to get them run off for us, and we should have those next week. So for you that have ordered videos and asked about them, we'll have those for you next week. And then, of course, as you know, our building program and all the things that are going on there. Many of you have asked about the pews. Many of you have already bought a pew. And some have asked, can I pay for it and give so much and do something like that? You've got about 15 months to do it. So if you want to do it that way, do it that way. That way you can buy one, then buy another. And that's the way it works. Amen. We'll finance it at 38%. And so however you want to do it, we'll do it for you there. But many of you have asked if you could do that. You're more than welcome to do that. What you need to do is get your card, fill it in, and just whenever you give your donations to take care of that, be sure to mark it on your envelope because we'll keep a record of it in the office. And appreciate all of you that have done so. And then, of course, some are giving a dollar for every year that when they have their birthday, for every year that the Lord has given them life. And, of course, John Eller gives his in today. He's 32, and Patty was worried about Thomas. She said, I'm going to have to go out and get a loan to take care of Thomas' birthday. It's coming up. But I appreciate all of you that are doing this. And then let me say thank you to all the deacons that went with me last Sunday night. We went to someone's home to be with them and pray with them. And I appreciate all the deacons that went out and what a ministry that was. And then for all the young people, Terry mentioned them a moment ago. They went with me Thursday night down in Alabama, Susan Moore, Alabama. And listen, those young people did a fabulous job. I want to say thank you to the parents that let them go and for the young people that went. And it was a real blessing. And they got them up, put them in the choir and to open the service up with, and they just took off. See, our kids, our young people, I should say, they're used to going to church here. They clap their hands and they get into it and they enjoy themselves. And as you know, it's not like that everywhere you go. And so they don't know any of it. They think that's the way you're supposed to go to church. And so it's not that way everywhere. But it was so good. This honest truth. They tore loose of singing. And the preacher sitting over there on the front row, he jumped up and run over me. And this is exactly what he said. He said, oh, this is God's will. These kids are here tonight. He said, we've been graveyard dead around here. He said, I am so glad they came. So it was good. They sung, and what a blessing it was. I appreciate the young people. We had a great time. Enjoyed them going. Let's pray now and you give. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. And it is grace, and we are a debtor to your grace. Now bless our giving today. May we give as a debtor to your grace. Thank you for all the ways you're meeting our needs now. Continue to move in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
some when I was happy, some when there were tears. Some folks have even questioned if it's all been just a show. But the reason I keep singing, I want the world to know. God's sweetness.
Yeah.
when I was still bound, those old ragged chains of sin. Praise the name. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. Praise his name this morning. He picked me up and drew me gently to his side. We're still walking together, too. Where the day in his sweet love I now abide. Oh, I'm so glad he came to me. Just for me.
Praise the Lord. He most certainly did. Be finding. Go ahead. Job 38. Sure, sure.
I watched that video of Larry Brown's life story where he said that heaven pounds his own. Well, I've been praying this week. Put heaven pounds on him and get hold of his breeches leg and don't turn him loose.
Amen.
And I know when he said he didn't slip with it, I said, praise.
Praise the Lord. Let me pray for Tony. Amen. When we can't reach him, he can reach him. Amen.
Amen.
Job chapter 38, let's stand as we honor the reading of his word. What a blessing. All the music has been to our heart this morning, and I thank the Lord for it. As you know, on Sunday mornings, I have been sharing with you what I am calling lessons from Father Nature. Not Mother Nature, but lessons from Father Nature. And we're looking at different objects and subjects of nature, and God's creation is found in the Bible. We began by looking at the eagle. Then we thought about the palm tree. Then we thought about the snow. That was the weekend. It was so cold around here. It did get cold, so I decided I'd never preach on snow again. And then last Sunday morning and Sunday night, I took two services to deal with the subject last week, and we talked about the ant. This morning, I want us to look at some stars. And I want us to look at the Pleiades and Orion as found in the Bible. And we'll draw some thoughts from these today. Look at Job 38, verse 31. This is God speaking to Job, and God says to Job, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Now, here's Job now. Job is going through one of the most difficult times in his life that he's ever gone through, if not the most difficult. And God begins to parade things across Job's life.
And he asked Job, he said, can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Or can you loose the bands of Orion? Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. And this morning, I want us to think about lessons from the stars or lessons from the Pleiades and Orion. Father, this morning as we come to you, Father, we are very much aware that if you had not come to us, we were absolutely hopeless and helpless. Father, there was a great gulf that separated us from you, but I thank you so much that through the cross of Calvary, you spanned that gulf and made it possible that we might come to you through Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask you to continue to work in our hearts this morning. You know every need that's in this place. You know every heart. You know every burden that is being carried. You know every need that exists in our life. And so, Father, we come today and ask you, Lord, that you might address those needs this morning and that you might meet those needs. I pray that you will work in all of our hearts. Let us hear you today. We do want to hear from you, and we want you to speak to us. And so we ask you, Lord, to move and to work in our hearts. For it is in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. Amen. I go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I go back to the fourth day of creation. And on the fourth day, we read that God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And Genesis 1:16 adds, he made the stars also. If you were to go out tonight and look up into the heavens, you would see thousands and thousands of stars on parade. In fact, I read just this week that 7,000 stars can be seen from Earth without the aid of a telescope. But we can only see about 2,000 stars at one place at one time. But you think about the 7,000 stars that we can see on Earth, from Earth, without a telescope. That is but a fraction of all the stars that God made. One resource I read this week said by estimating how many stars are in our galaxy, and by estimating how many galaxies there are, it is estimated that there are about 3,000 million billion stars. That's 3 with 16 noughts or zeros behind it. But what is so amazing about this is the psalmist said in Psalm 147:4 that he telleth the number of the stars and he calleth them all by name. Now, God doesn't have to estimate. He knows exactly how many stars there are, and he knows exactly where they are. And what is even more amazing, he calls every one of them by name. Say, there is 3,000 million billion stars. God calls every one of them by name. Well, as you look in the Bible, you'll find that God names some of those stars and that God mentions some of those stars. An example is found in our text. He talks about two groups of stars. He talks about the Pleiades and he talks about Orion. And you'll find that two other times in the Bible he mentions these particular set of stars. Job 9 verse 9. The Bible speaks about God which maketh Arcturus and Orion and Pleiades and the chambers of the south. Also in the book of Amos chapter 5 and verse 8, there is a reference to the seven stars and to Orion. So you find these particular set of stars mentioned three times in the Bible. But it was Job that God drew his, it was to these stars that God drew Job's attention. Again, going through a deep trial in his life, God said to Job, he said, I want you to look at the stars. I want you to look at Pleiades, and I want you to look at Orion. And there was a reason that he did so. And I want to try to help you. Three things that I want you to think with me about as we look at the text today and try to learn something from these stars. The first thing is this, very simple outline. But first of all, let's look to the stars. Let's look to the stars. And when I talk about looking to the stars, I want us to look at these stars and these specific stars. And I want us to learn something about these stars that is mentioned in our text, the Pleiades and the Orion. Let's look at them in a couple of ways. For one thing, let's look at them from a mythology point of view. When you go back in Greek mythology, you'll find that Pleiades and Orion had a big part in Greek mythology. For example, you take Pleiades. There were seven stars, and there's seven of them, and they were known as the seven daughters of Atlas. You remember Atlas? He was the fellow that held the sky upon his shoulder, but he had these seven daughters. Well, these seven daughters were pursued by Orion, and so they came to Zeus one day, and they said, Orion is chasing us everywhere we go. Can you protect us? Can you help us? And so Zeus changed them into a constellation of stars. That's where Greek mythology tells us the Pleiades came from. On the other hand, there is Orion. He was the son of Neptune. He was a giant of a fella. He was a mighty hunter. But when you think about Orion, he was a playboy in Greek mythology. It seems that every time you find Orion, he's always chasing women. That's every time you find him, he's chasing a girl. Not only was he chasing the seven daughters of Atlas, but there was also a girl, a beautiful woman by the name of Diana. That was the sister of Apollo. And it seemed that he began to chase her. Well, when you read about Greek mythology, it would appear that Diana loved Orion. But her brother Apollo wouldn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't happy with the situation there, so he decided to take matters in his own hands. So he took Diana out one day upon this cliff to look out over the ocean. And he looked down and he saw Orion swimming in the sea. But the only thing you could see was this black cap. So he said to Diana, he said, I know that you are a good shot with a bow and an arrow, but I bet that you can't hit that black speck in the water. So Diana got her bow, and Diana got out one of her arrows, and she shot Orion in the head. Now, I didn't mean to bring you such a sad story this morning, but she shot him in the head. Well, the tide brought Orion's body in, and when Diana realized what she had done, she turned him into a star, and she put him up in the heavens. And ever since he's been up there, he's been chasing the seven daughters of Atlas. I can't help but feel if Diana could shoot him again, she would. Can I get an amen there? But when you look at the stars, that's from a mythology point of view. But not just from a mythology point of view, but from an astrology point of view. When you think about the Pleiades, you're thinking about the most famous galactic star cluster in the heavens. It is sometimes called the Seven Sisters from the Greek mythology. It is cataloged as Messier 45, and it is located in the constellation of Taurus. It would seem that the first stars that are mentioned in astronomical literature were the Pleiades, and you find them appearing in Chinese annals in 2537. And it seems from ancient manuscripts that no stars were more talked about and considered more influential than the Pleiades. The earliest Greeks erected temples on hilltops that aligned to the rising and the setting of the Pleiades. They have found that the pyramids of Egypt have been arranged in the order of the Pleiades. The Aztecs and the Mayans of Mexico worship the Pleiades at their culmination for the lighting of the new fire. Certain tribes of the Brazilian Amazon believe that the Pleiades were the home of their ancestors. But it's the most famous galactic star cluster in all of the heavens. And then there is Orion. Orion is the most familiar of the stars. I'm sure many of you, some of you had heard of Pleiades, but I'm sure the majority of you had heard of Orion and heard the name mentioned. The most familiar of the stars. It is one of the most conspicuous constellations and one of the most well-studied constellations in the heaven. It is the nearest star formation region to our Earth. So when we talk about the Pleiades, we're talking about that particular set of stars. And when we talk about Orion, that's the stars that we're talking about. So we look to the stars and learn a little bit about them. But the second thing this morning that I want you to do is not only look to the stars, but I want you to listen to the stars. I want you to look and listen to the stars. And when I talk about listening, I'm talking about this morning letting the stars speak to us. You see, that's what God was doing. He drew Job's attention to the Pleiades. He drew Job's attention to the Orion for the purpose of letting those stars speak to him. You might say, like hieroglyphics of the physical world, they were part of the vast and the varied works of God that were in review before this tormented and troubled man. And God said, Job, I want you to look at the Pleiades. Job, I want you to look at the Orion. I want you to listen to what these stars have to say to you. Now think about Genesis 1:14. When God on the fourth day created the sun, the moon, and the stars, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven And he said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And then he said, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. God put certain lights in heaven to divide the days and distinguish the day and the night. He put certain lights in the heavens, the stars, that they might be signs. Signs to indicate the seasons of the year, or signs to indicate what season it might be. Well, when I think about the Pleiades and the Orion, I think of two things that no doubt Job listened to and heard when God pointed him in the direction of the stars. Are you listening to me this morning? Say amen. Following me now? Say amen. Two things. Let me first of all say that when I think about what the stars said to Job, I think they would say the same thing to us. The first is this. I believe they would speak to us of the delightful times of life. The delightful times of life. For you take the Pleiades, for example. The Pleiades announce the arrival of the spring. When you see the Pleiades at their brightest in the sky, it is announcing the arrival of the spring, or announcing the arrival of the summer. The Greeks gave this star, this constellation of stars, its name, Pleiades, from the word plein, that means to sail. It was a word that indicated the time when sailors might undertake a voyage with safety. They might sail the seas without fear of the terrible storms. And so they used that word to speak of this stars that welcomed in the spring and brought in the summertime. It was a sign that marked the time of plowing and planting. In fact, I was reading this week about the Cherokee Indians that were so populous in our area, how they looked to the Pleiades as the time when they would plow their ground and began to plant their crops. But the Pleiades always welcomes in the spring and brings in the summer. It reminds us of the delightful times of life. When we think about the delightful times, we're thinking about those times when the sun is shining in our life. We're thinking about those happy times. We're thinking about those good times. We're thinking about when the warmth of God's blessings is in joy. Everything is going well. Everything is going right. Got a good job. All the bills are paid. Nobody's sick at the house. Children are all doing good. Everything's doing good. To point out a problem in your life, you couldn't really do so. It's summertime. It is that delightful time in your life. But these stars not only remind us of the delightful times of life, but they also remind us of the distressful times of life. For you see, whereas the Pleiades would welcome in the spring and usher in the summer, Orion is the master of the winter skies. You see, Orion dominates the sky during the winter time, and it attains its highest elevation in the month of January and February. Just as Pleiades would welcome in the spring that would remind us of the delightful times of life, the Orion would bring in the winter, reminding us of the distressful times of life. The winter time, that's when everything is going wrong. The summertime is when everything is going right. But the wintertime is remindful of when everything is going wrong. You get a pink slip on Friday. You don't have money to pay your bills. You go to the doctor and you get a terrible report. The children have turned their back on everything that you taught them. Everything is going wrong. It is one problem after another. That's wintertime. Those distressful times in our life. There are the delightful times, there's the summer, but there are the distressful times, there is the winter time. I thought about us around here this week. We've enjoyed a lot of springs together, haven't we? Amen? And we've enjoyed a lot of summers together. This coming August, it would be my privilege to have served here 16 years. And over these 16 years, we've enjoyed a lot of springs, and we've enjoyed a lot of summers. We've been blessed of God. We have been blessed of God in a gracious way. In fact, one of the reasons why we're so excited around here and why we come to church, we come to celebrate, not come to a funeral home, is because God has been so good to us, and we've enjoyed wonderful summers from God. He's blessed us. We've enjoyed those summer times together. But on the other hand, we've experienced a lot of winters together. And there's been a lot of cold spells for us. And there's been a lot of blizzards that have come our way. I thought about so many this week. And I thought about so many times where I have knelt with so many of you in a waiting room of an intensive care unit when you didn't know if the doctor was going to walk out in the next 5 minutes and tell you that your loved one was gone. I have sat with so many of you in a consolation room at some hospital. I have been in your homes and knelt in your homes and prayed with you. I've sat down in your living rooms and saw that devastating look on your face when someone has broke your heart. We've had a lot of winter times together. I've been to the cemetery with practically about everybody in here in one way or the other. We've had a lot of winter times and we've had a lot of snowstorms together. You see, when we think about Pleiades and we think about the Orion, we think about the summertime when things are good and things are going well. But we think about Orion, the wintertime, when things are going bad. If we listen to the stars, and just like Job one night out on a Chaldean plain, God said, Job, think about Pleiades. Job, think about Orion. I think we would hear the same thing. The stars would remind us of the summertime, and they would remind us of the wintertime. But there's a third thing that I draw from this matter of these stars, and that is not only looking at the stars and listening to the stars, but learning from the stars. And we learn and we listen to them, and they remind us of the spring and the winter. But we learn from them. And again, you think about Job. Now, Job is a hurting man. Job is a man that his whole world has come crashing down. But God says, Job, I want you to look to the stars. Job, I want you to listen to the stars. And I want you to learn from the stars. And the stars talk to Job, silent in the night, yes, but they talk to Job. And they taught Job. And I believe this morning that if we'll listen, as we've already talked about, then we'll be taught the same things Job was taught that particular night. What would these stars teach us? May I suggest two simple things? One, they would suggest to me the certainty of the seasons. The certainties of the seasons. You realize tonight that if you were to go home and if you knew where to look, and it's a clear sky, you could look up in the sky tonight and see the Pleiades. You could find them if you knew where to look, and you would see them. And do you realize tonight that the same today, that if you went home and looked at the Pleiades tonight, you'd be looking at the same stars that Job looked at centuries ago. And you would find them coming back century after century after century. Like clockwork, they have kept their vigil in the skies, watching over the seasons, year after year after year after year. Pleiades predicting the spring and Orion predicting the winter. They remind us of the certainty of the seasons. And that's true of the seasons of life. Now, I don't want to be a pessimist this morning. And I don't want to discourage you, but I do want to be honest with you. You can be certain wintertime's going to come in your life. You think about the matter of winter. You can be certain that somewhere at some time, wintertime will come in your life. Now, I like the warm weather. I've enjoyed this record heat wave we've had around here for the past couple of weeks. Amen? I've enjoyed that. John prayed, even so come, Lord Jesus. I pray, keep it up, Jesus. I'm liking the hot weather. I have, as you know, what I feel about snow and whatever. I've enjoyed that. But you can mark it down. We know right now while we enjoy the warmth of the summer and while we enjoy the green grass and the trees that are filled with leaves and the flowers that are blossoming and blossoming in the field, while we enjoy all that, we know somewhere the grass is going to turn brown. And we know the trees are going to lose their leaves. And all the flowers are going to lose their petals and they're going to go back into the ground. And all around us, just a few months from now, is going to be blanketed with scenes of death. We know winter is coming. And I think about our lives. It may be today, it's summertime for you. And it may be springtime for you. It's never been any better than it is right now. Everything is going good. And again, I don't want to be a pessimist, but you can be certain. Just as certain as summer will follow spring and fall will follow summer and winter will follow fall, you can be certain there will come a winter time in your life. 1 Peter 4:12 put it this way. My beloved brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. He said, don't think it strange when all of a sudden you find yourself engulfed in great trials. Don't think it an unusual thing that you find yourself going through winter time. We just completed the book of James on Wednesday night. And we went through the book of James over several months. And you that are here in our Wednesday night Bible study, you will probably remember in the very beginning of the book, James made the statement, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." And you remember our study, and we saw the word fall, that is a word that speaks of that which comes without notice. Like the man that fell among thieves in the Gospels there. The thieves didn't advertise they were waiting on him. They attacked him suddenly and without warning. They fell. He fell among thieves. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. When those things happen in our life that come without announcement, those things that happen in our life when they come without warning, those things, those trials, those burdens, those heartaches, those winter times, when they come without any warning whatsoever. But James said this, and this is what I emphasize, that James did not, really the issue in what he was saying was not what to do if trials come, but what to do when trials come. For Job, this James did not say, "My brethren, count it all joy if you fall into divers temptations." But, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." You see, winter's going to come. The issue today is this: what are you going to do when winter comes? What are you going to do when winter comes? We know it's going to come. All of us are going to have our hearts broke at one time. And all of us are going to find ourselves in disappointing experiences. And find ourselves going through disappointing trials and heartache and grief. What the issue is, what are you going to do when they come? I tell you what I'm going to do when winter comes. When the snow starts falling around here and the temperatures start getting down to about 30 and down in the 20s. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to come and visit you in the hospital in a tank top and a pair of Bermuda shorts and flip-flops on. And no, not at all. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my closet. For in my closet there, I've got a nice London fog overcoat that I'm going to get out. And I'm going to get my gloves. Well, ask Sherry where they are, and she'll find them. I'll get my gloves. And I'll get my little scarf and put it on. Because I'm going to equip myself to cope with the winter time. Now, you listen to me. Winter's going to come. And it's not a matter of what to do if it comes. It's a matter of what to do when it comes. Can I say to you this morning, you have heavenly resources to cope with the winter time. You have heavenly resources to be able to face the winter time. You have heavenly resources to be able to get you through the winter time. Winter will come in your life, but you've got resources to get you through the winter. What are you talking about? We've got the Lord's presence. Did he not say, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? It may be summertime now, and God may seem as real as the skin on your hand. And wintertime, he may seem 1,000 miles away. But I want to promise you one thing. He'll be with you in the wintertime just like he is in the summertime. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You got the Lord's presence. You got the Lord's provision. Did he not say, "My grace is sufficient for thee"? Listen, if I enter this world just as I am, enter a winter world just as I am, I will not be able to cope. But I have resources to cope with the winter. And he tells me that my grace, his grace, will be sufficient for me in the winter time. I have the Lord's peace. Did he not say he'll give us peace that passeth all understanding? I have the Lord's promise that all things, not a few things, but all things work together to the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We don't have to live and act as if we are standing stark naked in the middle of a street in the winter time. We've got heavenly resources to be able to face our winters. God said to Job, he said, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades?" Job, is it possible for you to chain the summer to the ground so that it's always summer? Job, do you think it's in your ability to bind the summertime so that summer will not flee? Job, of course, the answer was not. And he said, do you think that you can loose the bands of Orion when the winter gets us in its grip? Do we have the ability to break that grip or to break those bonds and bring the summer back? No, we can't prevent the summer from coming. We can't prevent the winter from coming. But we can be equipped for whatever season it may come in our life. The certainty of the seasons. But here's the second thing it reminds me of. And that is the changing of the seasons. Now, aren't you glad it doesn't snow 365 days a year? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It don't snow 365 days a year. In fact, why don't we just stop right now, go outside, shout for 20 minutes, and come back in just because it don't snow 365 days a year. I was in Costa Rica back in January. In January, I thought I'd died and went to heaven. It was so nice down there. And I thought, why can't it be like this in Tennessee? Now, listen to me. I promise you one thing. I'll give you fair warning. I love this place. But if it started snowing 365 days a year, I'm going to mission field. I'm going to Virgin Islands. I feel the call of God. You mark that down. I'm glad it don't snow 365 days of the year. The Pleiades remind us that seasons change. The Orion reminds us that seasons change. Listen to me this morning. You may be in wintertime today. It may be cold as Jack Frost in your home today. You may have your heart heavy laden and the cares pressed and the burdens distress your heart. And it may be winter time, but I want you to listen to me. It's winter now, but somewhere spring's coming. And it may be cold today, but somewhere the sun's going to shine again. And it may be dark tonight, but one of these days the sun's coming back up again. I think about old Uncle Buddy Robinson. The old Nazarene, he used to talk about the sun shining and the flowers blooming and the bees buzzing and the birds singing in the backyard of his soul. I want you, if you're living in the summertime, then the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming and the bees are buzzing and the birds are singing in the backyard of your soul. But if it's wintertime, the sun has quit shining. And the flowers have quit blooming. And the bees have quit buzzing. And the birds have quit singing in the backyard of your soul. It's winter time. But you listen to me. Just as sure as winter comes and goes, there will come a day when the sun will start shining again. And the flowers will start blooming again. And the bees will start buzzing again. And the birds will start singing again in the backyard of your soul. It may be winter now, but spring will come. And it may be winter now, but summer will come. I think about in Luke, there's a little phrase that I love. And it's found over and over again. It's found in all the Gospels, but more so in the Gospel of Luke than any of them. And it's that little phrase, it came to pass. Are you listening to me? Oh, preacher, it's so cold in my life now. And it may be. But spring will come somewhere down the road. Preacher, it's a blizzard over at my place. But summer will come. Summer will come. It reminds us of the changing of seasons. You take Job. When we meet Job in the first chapter, here's the wealthiest man of his day. Here's a godly man. And you find in the very first chapter that suddenly Job finds himself in a betting contest that he has no comprehension about. And suddenly Job loses everything. He was crippled with bankruptcy. He literally lost it all in a day. Not a stock market crash, but he literally lost it all in a day. He was crippled with bankruptcy in one day. He was crushed with bereavement. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters in one day. I can't even begin to fathom. Some of you have had the unfortunate experience of losing a child. Sat down with a dad here the other night. He'd lost a daughter, and he just poured his heart out and talked about. And it'd been 2 years ago, but you could see that wound in his eyes is as fresh today as it was 2 years ago. I can't even begin to fathom losing one child, but much less 10 in one day. But Job did. And then he found himself covered with boils, sores all over his body. You find Job for the next 41 chapters. If you don't think it was winter, read the book of Job. If you don't think the cold was bitter, read the book of Job. You don't think the snow was blowing, read the next 41 chapters. If you don't think it was blizzard time in Job's life, read those 41 chapters. You don't think Orion was set in the sky, read those 41 chapters. He was a man that went through winter time. But I like the last chapter. Aren't you glad for the last chapter? Job chapter 42 tells us in verse 12 and 13 that God restored him twofold everything that had been lost. And he even restored his children, gave him 10 more children. So he didn't double his children. Yeah, he did. He had 10 up there and had 10 down here. You know what I find so funny about the whole thing is, Job was a man that did not curse God and die. But Mrs. Job, one day she looked at Job and she said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And she's, boy, listen, she paid for those words. So how do you mean? She's the one that had to have those 10 children. Can I get an amen right there? But one day, it was winter time. But when it was all said and done, the spring came back in Job's life. And the sun started shining, and the flowers started blooming, and the bees started buzzing, and the birds started singing in the backyard of Job's soul. We look at the sky today. We look up at the stars there, the Pleiades, that remind us that spring is here and summer is arriving. We look at Orion, it reminds us that winter has now come. But winter will come, but spring will follow. Aren't you glad for the changing of the seasons? Let's stand on our feet, please, would you?